chapter 15, let's start with verse 3. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. How many know the word cleanses you? How many know when you don't get under the word, you don't get cleansed? Tell your neighbor you need a shower. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you're in the right place today because the word is going to cleanse you. It's what he's saying here. Look at verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and he is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. Let me read this part again. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and he's withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit. Everybody say, bear fruit. Bear fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Here it is. As I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the power of the word. I thank you that as we read those scriptures there, it's not like reading a newspaper. It's not like reading a novel. These words have creative power. The same creative power that you used to create the universe by speaking it into existence, I thank you that that creative power is still alive in your spoken word. And as we sit in this auditorium today, Father, I pray that your word will begin to create greater images for our lives. Pictures of the future, so that we can see our lives changed through the power of your word. We ask that you would come. Let the anointing be here to preach and pull down strongholds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, I love this scripture here because it's one of my favorite, because it really gives you the stuff right here that is the difference in a Christian's life. Because that word Christian is losing its meaning. Christian has become what you describe people that go to church. Christian is what is now used to describe people that believe that there is a God and they believe that Jesus came to earth. But being a Christian should be so much more than just those things. This is why in our nation they say America is 70% Christian. You can't tell that by watching our American TV shows or listening to our American music or experiencing American culture. You can't see that. But what this scripture here does is it begins to tell us the essence of what living a Christian life should be like. It should be about abiding in Jesus Christ. It should be about connecting to the vine. And that is why Jesus makes some alarming statements here. If you're awake and you catch this today, it's quite alarming, because he's really separating the men from the boys, the women from the girls, the wheat from the tares, the real from the fake. Are you tracking with me today? And so what he does is he begins to say in John 15, apart from me, you can't do anything. One translation says this: apart from me, you're good for nothing. I don't know about you, but I've met some church folks that are good for nothing. I've met people that say they're a believer, but have none of the fruit. I've met people that say they love God, but they don't live lives that glorify him. They don't keep his word. They live according to the culture and what America says is okay, and what this person says is okay, and what social media says is okay. But they don't give God proper place. Because I don't know about you, but when I was 19 years old and I gave my life to Jesus and I felt the chains that were on my life binding me to promiscuous sex, to pornography, to impure thoughts, to all that stuff, when I got free, my first reaction was, what do I do now with this freedom? And I'll never forget it. I started going to church, taking notes, listening, because I gotta know now I'm free, and I don't wanna go back to those feelings, those thoughts, that bondage, that life. God, I need to know, what do I do now? How do I live now? And I'll never forget, I came across this scripture here. And this is the key, that to me it's amazing that some of us that have been saved 10, 15, 20 years still haven't gotten all the way. We've gotten pieces of it, but we haven't adopted this as a philosophy, as a core value in your heart. And that is this: if I'm going to live for Jesus, I must connect with his vine. And if I don't, then I will be withered away and burned. You see that in the scripture. We read that earlier. Apart from the vine, he says, I can do nothing. I was just reading the Bible to you. That's what it says there. Yet we live in a day that says, well, I love God, but I don't believe in church. I have my own relationship with Jesus. I go out and feed the hungry on Sunday. Listen, that's a good thing, but it may not be the God thing. And there's a difference. There's a difference. If I tell my child, hey, son, I want you to go in there and clean your room, and I leave the house and I come back and I say, why didn't you clean your room? Oh, Dad, I raked the backyard. There ain't a parent here that's going to go, awesome, way to go, son. Any parent that loves their kids is going to go, hold on, something's not right here. That's cool that you raked the lawn over there. That's cool. But I told you to clean this room. And we got Christians doing their own. Well, you know, I don't go to church. I don't tithe. What I do with my tithe is I give it to people on the street that are hungry. That's a good thing, but it ain't the God thing. And you're just like that kid who's received an instruction to do something, but he's going to do something else. That's a problem. And we've got people that don't understand that the key to this thing working is I got to abide in Christ. I got to connect to him. I got to be connected to his vine. And we've got some people, now catch me now, that mistake the church for the presence of God. We've got people that connect to church, but don't connect personally to Jesus. And so their spiritual life is going to church. And when there's no church, there's no God in their life. And so from 10 to 12, oh, they get immersed with God, get washed by the word. They worship God. They receive God. But soon as church is out, they don't get any more of God until next Sunday. So they'll go 6 days, 6 and a half days, disconnected from the vine and wonder why nothing good is working in their life. Wonder why things aren't changing for them. And get frustrated. And I know I'm talking to some folks in here. You're frustrated. You say things like, man, I tried going to church. It just wasn't doing anything for me. See, because you replaced Jesus with his body. Now, his body is a part of this thing. It's a part of the equation, but it ain't the whole equation. Because if you don't spend time with God, if you don't connect to the vine, and you just go to church, listen, we've all met church folks that are some of the meanest on the planet. Not at this church, in Jesus' name, amen. But you remember them, some of them church folks, they were mean as all get up. I remember as a small child, some of the meanest people I met as a small child were in my grandparents' church. They had no grace. You know, you couldn't make a mistake in front of them. You couldn't, they're calling you out for every little thing. Listen, it's possible to be like that. If you don't believe me, read the New Testament. What did Jesus deal with? What was Jesus' greatest battle in the earth? It wasn't the devil. It was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the church folk. The church folk that instead of connecting to God, they connected to his law, his rules. We got people still doing that today. And I'm here to tell you, listen, we have got to move away from that, and let's get the essence of this thing, the substance, rather than the appearance. Because how many of you know we live in a selfie generation? Smile at me now. I'm going to touch this. So just know this is good. Because we live in a generation that's consumed with self. How many know that's just the truth? It is what it is. This is the day and age we live in where we're consumed with ourselves. And let me tell you something, that doesn't translate into the kingdom. The thing that Jesus requires us to do to receive his life is exchange his life for ours. You can't do that if you love your life. You can't love your life more than you love Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? There's sacrifices involved in this thing. But if you sacrifice yourself, Jesus says, when you give me your life, I'll give you mine. And then he says this. He said this, to find life, you got to lose it first. I said, to find life, you got to lose your life first. But nobody wants to lose their life. What do you mean lose your life? I mean this, lose yourself in the Lord by abiding in him. How many of y'all are tracking with me today? So he says, I'm the vine, you're just the branches. What good is a branch if you rip it off the vine? What good is a branch if you take it off the tree? Come on, think about a fruit tree. You're the branch, he's the tree. You take that branch off of that tree, here's the number one thing that you will recognize will begin to happen to that branch. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Some of y'all are like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. That's cool, I respect your honesty, amen. Because here's why this is important. Because we've got to draw a line in the sand. We've got to make it plain as day what we're about. And there's one thing that demonstrates what you believe about God, what you believe about life, and what you believe about his word, and that is this: fruit. Fruit. If you take a branch, separate it from the tree, and think that that thing is still going to bear oranges in a few months, you are semi-mentally challenged. I'm being politically correct up here. Come on, somebody. Something's wrong with you. There's a screw loose, as they would say. You're a couple sandwiches short of a picnic. If you think that if you take a branch off an orange tree and lay it in your backyard, it's going to bear fruit. It's not going to bear fruit. But you know what branches are? The ones that are still on the tree. But here's the problem that we have in America today. Nobody's concerned with fruit, and they should be, because God's concerned with fruit. You know what most churchgoers are concerned about going to heaven or going to hell. And they think that God's concerned with that. You know what? He's not. He's not. You know how I know? Because he went and finished that. You're in. You're going. Now what? You're so focused on making it there. You're in. You're there. You received Jesus. Now what? But yet we've got some people that's just their only focus. I want to get into heaven. Listen, you are focusing on something that's already taken care of. Now what your focus must be is you got to be fruitful. You got to bear fruit. What does bearing fruit look like? Bearing fruit is not church attendance. Bearing fruit, here's another one, is not just being a nice person. We've got a lot of nice people that are fruitless. And when you're fruitless, here it is, you get fruity. You ever met a weird Christian? 9 times out of 10, they don't bear fruit. 9 times out of 10. You might get that one that stumbles upon some fruit. But listen, you've got to make sure that your focus for your life is to be fruitful unto the Lord. Do you know how I show my gratitude to God who gave his only son to die on my behalf? Do you know how I show my gratitude to the Lord that set me free from lust and pornography and all the things that I was around when I was in my teens? You know how I show him gratitude? By bearing fruit. By making choices according to his word. What does he have the audacity to say in his word? He says, if you don't keep my commands, you don't love me. You know what that means? If you don't listen to me, you don't love me. You know what the love language of God is? I say it here all the time. Obedience. That's his love language. That's how we communicate back to him. Because there's nothing that you can do other than obey his word that gives God joy and that he feels. Some of you think that lifting up a shout of praise or lifting your hands is enough. And that's good. But you know what you still got to do? You got to be fruitful. Because worship is more than a song on Sunday. Worship is a lifestyle. And do you know how we worship God? Some of you worship him by saying no to those losers that want to sleep with you. Smile at me now. Y'all didn't know every time you hung up the phone, no, can't come over, that was worship. Oh, clap for him better than that. That was worship. Went right up. The Father just, yes, sing again. Every loser you unfriended because he's trying to get at you, sending you messages at 2 o'clock. You up? Block that fool. Worship goes up. That's worship. It's obedience. It's how you live. It's every time you make a decision based on his word. That's worship. Compromise is the enemy of worship. Well, you know, we're not married, but we love each other. So, you know, we still, you guys know. That's compromise. That's polluting your worship. Worship is every time you take a step and you choose to live your life according to his word. Not only is it worship, it's connecting you to the vine. Whew. Because every time God's word is obeyed, he's there. Every time you obey his word, you activate his word. And when you activate his word, you activate the promise of his word. And what that does, see, the thing that you've got to understand is every time you do the word, it becomes a part of you. There's a price to be paid. That's why Ecclesiastes says, buy the truth and sell it not. So if you say you follow Jesus, you're going to have to prove that. And you know how we prove that? We prove that with the most anointed word on the planet. No. Sometimes that's how you prove you're a born-again believer. By saying no. Can I come over and Netflix and chill? No. See what I'm saying? The young people get that one. Okay. So let me give you these other benefits of connecting to the vine. Okay, number one, first thing we're talking about here is fruitfulness. Listen, we're not looking, we didn't plant this church because we need more church people in Sacramento. There's enough of them. There's big buildings full of church people. We're not looking to make more church people. Okay, because church people don't change the world. Amen? They don't. Because many times church people are unfruitful. So that's not why my wife and I have gone through, literally, in our family, tough times and sacrifice and having no money and giving up houses and giving up opportunities to build a church of church people. Pfft, yeah, right. It's not worth it to me. But what is worth it is laying down our lives for people that want to be fruitful. I'm down for that. I'll spend the rest of my life making disciples that are fruitful. Because, see, verse 8 tells us this in John 15. He says, by this my Father is glorified. Here's how you bring glory to the Father. You bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. That's how you bring glory to Papa God. That's how you express thankfulness for he's blessed your family. He's rescued you from the pit of hell. He's taken you and given you the keys to the kingdom. How do I say thank you? Go to church? No. I bear much fruit. There's a word in there I want you to catch, and it's the word much. Amen? Much fruit. Think about a person with an orange grove. And harvest time comes, and they go out in that grove, and they pick two oranges. And they come in, and they go, oh, my gosh. We got two oranges. This is so awesome. It's not awesome. It's not awesome. You know what would be awesome and what is awesome? Is when they go out into their orange grove, and all their trees have fruit. That's a harvest. Are you catching this today? And we've got Christians that get excited about a little fruit. What glorifies God, oh, you need to catch this today. What God loves, what God takes pleasure in, what gives God just that high of life, so to speak, smile at me, is when you bear fruit, much fruit. Much fruit in your business, much fruit in your spiritual walk, much fruit in everything you do. Everybody say much fruit. It's what it says in verse 8. It gives God glory. And so here's the other thing I love about this verse here and why we need to be fruitful. See, some of you think you're disciples because you got discipled or you went through the year discipleship course and you were a part of the men's discipleship group or you're a part of the women's discipleship group. And yes, we discipled you. But the way we know you're a disciple is if you bear much fruit. Got real quiet in this Baptist church today. Because what is a mark of a disciple is they bear fruit. But not only fruit, much fruit. And this is where we begin to see who is who. Because, and Christians are really good at this, we know how to project spirituality. We get the, you know, it used to be we get that big, the biggest Bible in the bookstore. Remember those days? Before the phones. We go and get the biggest Bible, get that little leather case. How many old school Christians, you remember? I have my leather case right there. I carry my Bible, big old Bible, the big letters, you know. And you could come to church and you get out your little, you have your little briefcase and you can put on a suit and look like you knew something. You really didn't, but you came to church and you had your suit on and you knew how to act just right in church. And you had to throw up that hand in worship where the back fingers go back like that. I don't know what that was all about, but it just seemed spiritual. And you worship God with the stank face. Y'all remember the stank face? It's like you smelling something bad. Father. And we can put on, we could put on an outward air of spirituality and connection with God. And I'm poking fun at that, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but here's what makes you a disciple when you got fruit, when you bear fruit. I know the day is going to come when every member of this house is somebody that could say, this person is coming to heaven with me one day. They did a poll, Barna Research did a poll in America, and they found that there's almost 80, my percentages always fluctuate here, but don't hold me to this, but somewhere between 70 and 80% of born-again believers have never led somebody to the Lord. Ever. That means they just got in and were just like, I'm in the kingdom. This is so great. But didn't give God any glory. Because what did Jesus say gives God glory? Much fruit. I don't want to be a believer that doesn't give God glory because I made my Christianity about sitting in a chair from 10 to 12 every Sunday. I want to be somebody, and I want my family to be a family that when we see the Lord at the white throne judgment, we present him the fruit of our lives. And there's people in the Philippines. There's people in Jamaica. There's people every place we've lived, in Florida, in Sacramento, in Midtown, every job I've ever had. There's people that have come to know Jesus because I'm fruitful. And I want that for you. Why do I want that for you? Because it is the only way to live. It is the meaning of life. You find out how good life is when you're blessing other people. I want that. I want you to see that thing. This thing will work. This Christianity thing goes to another level when it's more than just about you and your family. It works. I want you all to experience that. But the second reason I want you to catch this is because it gives God the Father glory, and he is worthy of all glory. Fruitfulness. What would happen if everybody after this message here just said, God, you pray every day, God, show me and help me to be fruitful in my life. You want to know what would happen? He would do it. And you know how he would do it? He'll come to you and he'll begin to tell you, son, daughter, you need to quit this behavior right here because it's keeping you from being unfruitful. And if your prayer is to be fruitful, that desire will grow in you and you'll do whatever you got to do to bear fruit because that's what I did. God gave me a vision of my destiny, and I said, God, I want that. And I saw myself ministering and helping people. And then from that point on, when I said, God, I know I can't do that on my own. You're going to have to change this knucklehead from South Sacramento. You're going to have to clean me up. I'm not smart enough. I'm not anointed enough. God says, good. Okay, I can work with that. Here's what I need you to do. And then he begins to show you the things you got to change to be fruitful. But here's the problem that we run into. That's where we lose folks. Because folks don't want to change to give God glory. They want to stay the same and just get into heaven. Good luck with that. You want to know why? Because that's a good way to almost ensure that you won't make it in. You want to know why? Because Christianity and the grace that is needed to resist sin, to resist destructive living, is found in doing God's word. And this is why when people just try to bare-knuckle it in, well, I just go to church every week and try to be a good person, then I'm going to make it into heaven. No, you won't make it in heaven. The lust for sin will dominate you. The boredom that you will come across will dominate you. And before long, you'll go back to your old ways, the way the Bible describes it, as a dog going back and eating his old vomit. I've seen it. Been in the house 25, been in church 25 years. And I've seen people up and down, up and down. You want to know why? Because their focus is just to go to heaven. But when you make your focus to be fruitful, then everything changes. Everything changes. Your time with God isn't a chore. Some of you spend time with God like you're doing him a favor. God, I get my devos in. Gotta get my devos. Let me read my Bible. And some of you don't even do your devos. You just post that you did them. It's going to let that marinate around here. Because there's a difference. There's a difference in doing it. You got to move beyond. Some of y'all need to move beyond devos. Devos is for where we start. I read this verse today. No, you got to move beyond that. What did God say today? If you do Devos and can't remember what you read by 1 o'clock, you didn't do Devos. If by 1 o'clock you can't tell anybody what you read and what God spoke to you about, you didn't do them. You say, well, Pastor, that's why I post them, so I can go back and see. Work with me here, Pastor. No, see, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The purpose of Devos is to connect with God. And when you connect with God, he speaks. And when he speaks, you should remember what he says. And so if someone comes up to you by 4 o'clock and says, hey, what did you read about in the Word? I read, then you didn't do Devos. You didn't have time with God. You did a religious exercise. You did your little deal. This is a relationship. There are no points for opening the Bible and forcing yourself to stay in it for 10 minutes. There's no points in heaven. There's not a scoreboard over your head in heaven. And the thing goes ding, 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 10 minutes. Ha! And heaven cheers. Woo! Yeah! No, it doesn't do that. The way we know our devos are changing our life is through our fruitfulness. And how do we become fruitful? Ask the Lord, God, make me fruitful. Help me to bear fruit that you might receive glory. And when you do that, that is when the Lord will begin to come to you and he'll begin to reveal to you why you're not fruitful. Maybe you're not fruitful because your attitude towards people is horrible. Maybe because you're depressed 75% of the time. Maybe it's because you won't quit disobeying the Lord in an area of your life. I don't know. But I know when you make a decision that you want to be fruitful, you say, Lord, help me be fruitful. He'll begin to move right in there. Let me give you an example. So I was 19 years old, just getting saved. I want to be fruitful, Lord. I want to do what you've called me to do. God then begins to move in my life. And you know how he began to move in my life? He said, you got to break up with your girlfriend. Been with this girl 2 years. See, we would have lost 75% of y'all just on that word right there. Because y'all, most people aren't that serious with God. It's a fantasy. No preacher came to me and told me that. No pastor came to me and told me that. My time with God, he said, you know what you got to do. You know what you got. You want to bear fruit? You want to reach your destiny? This is what you got to do. And can I just tell you, years later, I cried like a baby. I cried like a 5-year-old girl. Thank you, baby. Thank you. I did. 19 years old. You're trying to be hard. Listening to Ice Cube. Get into prayer. God says you need to let that relationship go. Cried, wrestled with it. It was tough. It was tough. But you know what the bottom line came down to? I want to be fruitful. I kept seeing myself standing on platforms. God showed me pictures that we talked about last week. I had images in prayer that I'd be in other countries, in nations, preaching the gospel. I said, God, I want to get there, and I know I'm not smart enough, and I know I need an anointing. I don't know I don't have the money for all that. I want to be fruitful. What do I do? And he said, shh, this is what you got to do. He went right for the jugular. That's how Jesus is. He didn't tiptoe around it. He didn't ease me into it. He just said, you need to let go of that. If you let go of that, I'll let go what's in my hand into your life. And he did. But that wasn't enough. Most of you that know me or have been to Mexico in my van, you know I'm a music lover. Love music. All kinds of music. I'll even go country on you a little bit. Kenny Rogers on you if you need me to. Don't make me start quoting The Gambler, The Coward of the County. Don't make me sing Lady to you. See, y'all don't even know Kenny Rogers. Mondo, they don't even know about Kenny Rogers, Mondo. Well, I'll go country on you. I'll go rock and roll. I'll go hip hop. I can go a little oldies here, whatever. I love music. But at 19 years old, the music that I loved wasn't loving me back. Because I was liking Two Live Crew. Come on. Yeah, don't, no, I'm trying to take your mind back to them songs. I see some of y'all. Ooh, yeah, I remember that. Ooh. And I liked NWA. Those are my groups right there. Some of you still know about Too Short, but I knew Freaky Tales Too Short. That Too Short. And I still remember when I first got saved for about a month, going to church in my dad's red car Magia, driving that thing. Mom will remember this, and I'm blowing boom, 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 boom. Too Short, boom, 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 boom. And he's telling all these sexual exploits, and I'm going to church. Roll up in the church, close the door, go in and sit on the second row and lift my hands before God. And then leave church, get in the car, and there's Ren, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre telling me to blank the police. And I'm going with it too, bobbing my head. Yeah. And so the Lord begins to come to me in prayer, and he says, you got to get rid of this stuff. And I said, devil. Y'all ever been challenged on something like that? It seems trivial, but for me, it was huge. And no preacher came and told me to do it. My pastor didn't sit me down and go, hey, you got to watch this. I beat it at the pass. I was hearing it from him. And he said, you know, so I said, you know what? God, if this is what it's going to take, I'm in. I got rid of all my music, my crates of albums. And you say, oh, Pastor, that must have been worth so much money. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Because I wanted to be fruitful. I wanted to connect to the vine. I wanted the vine to engraft into me. And the only way the vine engrafts into me is when I obey his word. So therefore, every act of disobedience disconnects me. So I knew I had to cleanse my mind. And so you know what I did? I got rid of it all. But that wasn't it. The Lord said, if you want to come and you want to be fruitful and you want to go to these nations and you want to do these things, he began to say, I need something else from you. And for 2 years, I never went to a movie. I got rid of my television. Now, please breathe a little bit. I'm not telling y'all to do this. Tell your neighbor just to make sure he ain't telling you to do that. No, I like TV. Anybody seen Thor yet? I'm going to see Thor this week probably. All right. Just want to lighten it up in here. People think, are we going Pentecostal in here? Well, TVs are bad now? He went to L.A., came back a Pentecostal? What's going on? No, it's all fine. I'm just telling you, that was my journey. And the reason that was so important for me, so I got rid of my TV. I stopped going to movies. I quit listening to secular music. And you know what God was doing in me? He was renewing my mind. Because every time I would lay down, I'd see sexual images, like some of you guys. Smile at me. It's all right. I know. I already know. It's in the room. Just like you, I would lay down at night to go to sleep, and I would see sexual images. You want to know why? Because I was listening to music that was simply ear porn, telling me sexual things about women and these sexual acts and things like that. And then you go to watch TV, and these things were all around me. Now, if I just wanted to get into heaven, I would have never agreed to saying, God, I'll give that to you. Because here's the deal. It's not a prerequisite. But to be fruitful, it is. If you just want to get to heaven, you can live just do what you want to do to a degree. But if you want to be fruitful, there'll always be things where God, the Bible tells us, he'll prune you. You want to have a better life? He'll prune you. He'll talk to you. And it might not be TV. That's a 19-year-old kid. I mean, when you're 19, that's your world. Media, you know, and girls. In essence, what I did to the Lord is I gave him my world. That's what it was. Again, I'm not saying any of y'all need to do that unless he tells you to. And you know what's the other cool thing? I never got up and made and preached and told other people to do it. Because I knew that was my word. Because we do that sometimes. God speaks to you about not going to the movies, and you go and tell everybody, oh, you're going to the movies? Oh, you're just full of sin. Here's what you need to understand. What's sin for you may not be sin for somebody else. Because you know what makes it sin? Disobedience. That's what makes it sin. Some of you may sin not going on a missions trip because the Lord spoke to you to go. So you sinned. Somebody else didn't go, and it was completely cool. You want to know why? God didn't tell them to go. So they stayed home, and they were good. You stayed home and sinned. See the difference? This is why it's a relationship. It's not a rule book. It's not the law. It's not do this, that, and the other. It's connect to his word. Connect to his vine. Engraft yourself to him. Jesse, help me here on the keys. Engraft yourself to him. And let's change our mindset as a church, as born-again people. It's not just about being a good person. It's being fruitful. You have to remember what the Bible says. Being a Christian is not about being blessed. You're already blessed. But what are you blessed for? You're blessed to bless others. I walked that parking lot. We had over 1,000 people out there on that on Tuesday night. And I just get teary-eyed every time I see it. But what makes me teary-eyed is y'all that were out there. While your coworkers were dressing sleazy and going to Halloween parties, I don't know why a costume got to be sleazy, right? You can't just be a cat. You got to be a sexy cat. Tells you it's demonic right there. You know, you can't just be, you know, whatever. You can't just be a maid. Got to be that sexy maid. I've been around a lot of maids. I ain't never seen them wear that kind of stuff. But while I'm out there, I just tear up because I'm seeing the seeds of a church that gets it. That what good is our blessing if we don't bless other people? But I want to kick this up another notch. What if you would make the focus of your life to bear much fruit? Why? Because Jesus said it gives God glory. And the Bible tells us he's worthy of glory. He's worthy of it. Why is he worthy? Because remember where you came from. Remember what your life was like without Jesus. Why would you not adopt his ways? Why would you not resist what the world is trying to tell you to live like and take on God's ways? You know, that was the sin of the Israelites. Every time their enemy would come around, they'd start doing what the enemy wanted. They'd start worshiping idols. They'd start doing their customs and their things. When are we going to understand that what gives God glory is when we make choices to live our life based on his word? That means if his word tells me not to sleep with somebody until they're my husband or until they're my wife, I do that to bring glory to God. What would happen? What would happen? I'm going to tell you what would happen. Your life will begin to be fruitful. And a fruitful life is a better life. I'll say that again. A fruitful life is a better life. Because here's what begins to happen when you're fruitful in the Lord. Every area of your life will begin to experience fruit. Your spiritual life, your social life, your financial life, your business life. But see, some of us got to change our focus. You've just been trying to be good. What did Jesus start off with in verse 3? He says, I've already cleansed you with the word. Let's quit talking about that. Put it up there. He says, you're already clean. I did that. You know what he's saying? Quit trying to be a good person. Be fruitful. Because if you be fruitful, you'll become a good person. But you don't necessarily bear fruit just trying to be good. I go to church. I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke weed. Some of us might still be doing that, but you see what I'm saying? Smile at me. I went there and I was like, well, ma'am, some of y'all need to quit doing that too. But it's not enough. If your greatest victory is what God did for you when you got saved, you need to get some more victories. If your testimony is 5 years ago, God set me free. That's awesome. What's he done for you lately, Miss Jackson? Come on. What have you done for me lately? Dun, 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 dun. We'll get you there. We'll get you there. He's only been in America a month, so we'll get him there. The testimony doesn't stop. It keeps going. You know what's a testimony in my life? When God does something for you guys. I love seeing that. I love seeing that. I love seeing that, you know, where she at? Jeanette came to the missions trip. She got up in front of about 500 young people at the conference, shared her testimony. That did something to me. Because this house was a vehicle to bring her in. She's fruit of her sister and brother-in-law. That's fruitfulness. We've often done the life chain thing that we say here, you know, this person brought this person and that person. It's amazing how many life chains we got in here. Ariel came in, and then this her mom, and then her aunt, and then her cousin, and then her enemy, and then her friends are going, are you the enemy? Was I the enemy? Are you? And there's a line of people connected. That brings glory to the Father when we're fruitful. Stand on your feet today. Just want to shift our thinking this morning. Just shift our thinking. Close your eyes for me for a bit. Some of you have been stuck. It's been in a dry season. You got no passion for God. It's because the only vision you've had is, God, just make me good. He's already done that. Change your focus now to, God, make me fruitful. Show me what I've got to do to be the biggest blessing I can to the people around me. Show me, how do I become a better mother to my kids? How do I become a better father? How do I become a better husband? How do I be fruitful to my family? How do I be fruitful to my community, my job, my church? When that begins to be your prayer, life starts. It's like heaven begins to go, ah, we got one. They get it. They see it. They have the revelation. Let's go. Let's move. And provision begins to come your way. Grace begins to flow towards you. Power begins to come your way. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. Some of you have just started serving the Lord again. And the reason you went away is because you just were like, it's not working. It's not good. It's not getting it. See, your focus got to change. God, give them mental pictures. Use their imagination to show them their destiny, their marriage, their relationships in your hands. There's four people here that you always wanted to get married, but the last year and a half, you gave up on that dream. Four people I see. I could call you out right now, but I don't want to embarrass you. I just hear the Spirit of God saying, pick that dream up. That's my dream, not your dream. Dust it off. And I just see you being real reluctant to own that dream again because you thought, well, it ain't going to happen. I'm getting older. This, that. I just see the Lord blowing on that. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. God, release pictures. Release images. Let them see the life they can have in you. Let them see going to university. Let them see going to the nations. Let them see their ministry and what it looks like. And Father, we just ask right now as we close out this service, shift our thinking this morning. From focusing on being clean. You already did that. You already washed us with your word. You've already made us holy and set apart. Change our focus to being fruitful. What do we need? What is it in our lives that is keeping us from being fruitful? And Lord, I pray that every person here would trust you the way I did when I was 19 years old. It's the best decisions I've ever made in my life, was to just trust you and obey you. I pray that every person here would trust Jesus with your life. Because whatever you give to the Lord, he gives back to you in greater quality, quantity, and kind. I got a better wife than the one I would have had. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, if you're here today and you know the Lord's already speaking to you, and it's hard, it hurts because you don't want to give that up, you don't want to change that, you have a decision to make. And sometimes decisions are good because now you know where you stand. And I'm not going to have anybody come forward today, because if this decision is between you and the Lord. But I would just tell you this. It's time to get real. You're either about this life or you're not. And I'm running a risk right now of some of you won't see again. No, as I'm saying this today, I might not see some of you again, because you're going to have to make that decision. You're going to be hot or cold. But don't play the game. That's religious and that's ugly. Why come to church if you're not willing to do what he's asking you to do? Why keep playing like you're holy when you won't live that way? I used to say this all the time, and I don't say it as much anymore, but if you're going to go to hell, go to hell. But if you're going to go to heaven and you're going to serve the King, you're going to be in relationship with him, then serve him. And he said, I know you if you do what I say. Let him speak to you. And Father, I just pray for the grace over every person in here, that they might do the hard stuff. Whatever they place in there in your hand, Lord, may they have trust and may they not take it back. Lord, I pray you shift our thinking as a church. Let our focus as individuals be to bear much fruit. Who are we touching on the job? Who are we bringing into the kingdom? Who are we loving on? Who are we blessing? Who are we serving? Shift us today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did y'all get that word today? Come on, give God a good praise clap. Let me tell you, I really do love every single one of you. My wife and I and our team, our other pastors, I spent the week with seven of our team, and man, they love y'all. The way they talk about you, the conversations we have about you guys. And sometimes I got to bring something a little strong with some chile on it in the morning, you know. And it's kind of rough going down, but you got to know it's from a place of love, that I don't want you to just be a churchgoer. Churchgoers' marriages are still as messed up as the world's marriages. Churchgoers' kids are just as crazy as non-churchgoers' kids. But fruitful people have a different life. And that's the life I want for all of us in this place. You guys have an incredible week. Amen.